Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to have you today at the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. I shook most people's hands, but I didn't get around to everybody. I got detained over here with this young lady in the blue back there. She listened to one of our CDs this week, and she had never heard anything like it. Is that right? God's Power. And she was impressed, praise the Lord, with God's power. Well, let me tell you, I'm impressed with God's power, aren't you? Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I will just have to say that, like I told her, I said, you know, there's many, many, many healings that's not on God's power. You know, it's only an hour and a half long, you know. In fact, this gentleman sitting right here on the front row, you know, when he first came here, his is not on there at all. His happened after. But he came in one time and he was down on his back. And there was a lady who recommended he come out here. And so he came out here. And yeah, Rosemary's the one that did it. Yeah, yeah. She recommended he come out here. And I asked him what he done. And he said he was a businessman. And I said, well, do you have any kind of sin in your life? And he said something like, well, you know, do you know anybody that doesn't have some kind of sin in their life? I said, yeah. I said, do you want to get healed? He said, well, of course I do. That's why I came out here. I said, well, you got to repent of that sin. Is that what I told you, Jack? I said, you have to repent of your sins. I said, you got to be morally, ethically pure before God. Well, he didn't really realize how important being perfect was in the sight of God. But anyway, he repented of all of his sins, and I reached over and put my hand on his back and prayed for him and asked God to heal him. And I said, how do you feel? And he said, I don't feel any better now than I did when you prayed for me. I said, well, okay. But I said, just keep praising the King and you'll get your healing, I guarantee. I said, when I pray for you, I guarantee if you got rid of your sin, I guarantee God's going to heal you. Well, Jack didn't quite get to the car till his pain went away. So he went ahead and went home, and then 2 weeks later, he come back in, he walked right up to me and said, Pastor, what you teach really works. Now, he'd been in a Baptist church all his life, and I guess he'd never seen a healing or a miracle, had you, Jack? No, no, never seen a healing or a miracle in a big Baptist church over here. You never seen that either. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
And so anyway, God virtually healed him instantly. Before he got to the car, he was healed, and he never has had no trouble with back since. No, that's been, what, 2 or 3 or 4 years ago?
Probably four now.
Four? Well, and then he had another thing on the back of his hand. I think your daughter had one of those too, didn't she?
She's a
doctor, though, right?
Surgeon.
She's a surgeon, yeah. And, of course, Jack come to me, right on the back of this hand, right up here, was a great big old lump. Well, what do you do with a great big old lump when it's on the back of a hand? You curse it and command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Now, I know Jack's walking in obedience to God's word because he's had this. For how many years had you had that?
40
years he's had this thing on his hand. Big old thing. It was right along there somewhere, wasn't it, Jack?
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly. I remember that day that I put my hand on the big old puffy thing. And I cursed it and commanded to leave. I said, now I guarantee you'll get healed in the name of Jesus. How long did it take?
6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months. Oh, but Jack didn't give up. He stayed with it.
But when it went away within like an hour or two.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
He stood on God's word. See, now I think this is something that we forget when we pray. In other words, I'm going to take you to the, I've now learned why I didn't get my prayers answered for a long time. I mean, I didn't really pray in faith. You know, I mean, I didn't pray much at all, you know, as a child of God. I was a deacon in the Baptist church. Yeah, I prayed, but I never prayed in faith. I never prayed and reached up and told somebody, I guarantee that thing's going to come off because I prayed for it. But when you get to that point where you can do that, it will come off, won't it, Jack? 40 years he'd had that thing, and it come off. 40 years. And like he said, 6 to 9 months or something like that. You don't remember exactly, but it was there for a while. But he stood on the Word of God. Now he knows that God's word and his promises are always yes and amen. It does not necessarily, if you don't get your answer right now, but you're going to continue to stand. Now, I think where we're missing it a whole lot is that, first, number one, I think we're not really repenting of our sins. I remember when I go to the book of Matthew, those disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, why could we not heal that boy with this epilepsy? He said, because of your unbelief. If you have faith and doubt not, nothing shall be impossible with you. Is that what it says, Jack?
That's exactly what it says.
Wow. So what should be impossible with us?
Nothing.
As sons and daughters of God? Nothing. I mean, we're children of the King. So why are we letting the enemy beat up on us? Why did Jack let the enemy put that thing on his hand for 40 years? I can tell you for sure, somewhere way back yonder, he got into some kind of sin that opened the door, and somebody got under his skin, and that big old thing come up on his hand. Y'all see where I'm coming from? Somebody got under his skin. Now, I know none of y'all ever let anybody get under your skin, right? Well, if you do, repent and don't go there. You know, what is the commandments that God give us in the new covenant? Love who? Love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, and your strength, and your neighbor as? So that's all it is, isn't it? So if we're walking in love, when we pray, we should get our answer, right? Now, if it don't happen quickly, and it may not, I mean, I can remember times that I've had things that didn't happen quickly, and I've had to stand on the Word of God. And so, let me take you to Matthew 11:12. I want you to see this. I think we don't get tough enough with God's Word. I think we're a bunch of wimps. That's what I think we are. I know I am. You know, I mean, I'm really a wimp. You know, if I was really a real strong man of faith, what did the King say I could do?
Anything.
Wow. That tells me something, doesn't it? So have I ever prayed for anybody that didn't get healed? Yeah. Now, of course, you know, there might have been two problems there. I might have not had enough faith, or they might not have repented of their sins, too, see? So that's the problem. You know, a lot of times, I mean, I think about this little girl out here in the hallway, you know, that how we prayed for that little girl for a year and a half with no results. Has everybody seen the pictures of Jenna out there in the hallway? Okay, if you haven't seen the pictures of Jenna out there, look at them when you walk out the door there. There's about 8 pictures of her when she was sick and afflicted. And then there's 6 pictures to the left after she got healed. And when the mother found out it was her sin that made her little daughter sick, I said, okay, now that you've repented of the sin, we can pray the prayer of faith and the little girl will get healed. She said, Thurman, I do not want to pray for my daughter's healing. I said, what? She said, yes, since I found out it was my sin that put this sickness upon her, and she's got all them terrible scars all over her body, I want the Lord to give her a brand new coat of skin. And he did, didn't he? When we prayed, he gave her a brand new coat of skin. Now, a lot of times when we pray for something, the problem is we don't have enough faith to believe him for nothing. I've had people come out here to a healing school and ask me to pray for whatever, maybe a headache. And before they leave, they got healed. And next healing school, they come back and say, well, I had diabetes. And they name off about 5 things. I said, why didn't you ask me to pray for them last month? Well, I didn't think God would do all that at one time. Do we think God's limited on his power? Yes, my arm grown short. That's what he told Moses, whatever. When Moses said, Lord, these people won't meet. He said, tomorrow I'll have them meet. He said, Lord, if you killed every fish in the sea, you couldn't feed this multitude meat by in the morning. God says, Moses, is my arm getting short? You know, I mean, who do you think I am? I don't think we realize who he is. Y'all know where I'm coming from? We do not realize who our master is. We look at him like he's a man, just like you and me. Do what? Luke 1:37? What does that say? That's right. Luke 1:37. I quoted that a lot of times when I was down there in that hospital with my granddaughter. Luke 1:37. Nothing is impossible with my God. Nothing. And of course, there she was with a severed brain stem and skull crushed in five places and eyes jerked out of her brain and all the different things that was, and he healed all that. And today she's 13 years old, running and playing. In fact, yesterday we went out to the ball game. Oh, my grandson, 7 years old, was playing a football game yesterday at 12 o'clock. I went out there with him. And I sat behind the girls. I never thought to take an umbrella. But I sat behind the girls because they just had a little blouse on, you know, a sleeveless blouse. I thought, these girls are going to burn up here. So I sat behind them and shaded them for three quarters. And then I told them, I told Leanne, why don't you take these kids home? I mean, my youngest granddaughter, she was getting very irritable. Nothing you could do for her was going to please her. She wanted to be somewhere where it was cool. And so I told her, I said, just load up the kids and take them home. I'll stay here till the ball game's over. And I'll just holler at Preston whenever it's over and tell him he had played a good game. But I thought to myself, as hot as I was sitting up there with sweat running down my back, down my legs and everything, just sitting there on the bleachers, I can only imagine what that little guy was sweating out there running all over that football field. I thought, wow. Of course, you know, every few minutes, you know, those coaches, and of course, my son was out there with his son, too. He had two big old squirt bottles, and, you know, every time they'd get about 10 minutes at the most, they'd run out there and squirt those bottles in their face, you know, and wet them down and everything else. Because, man, when it's 105 degrees, you got to have some water. You know, so, wow. I think we've kind of gone off the deep end when we start teaching our children to play football and baseball and everything else when they're that big. I just don't. I mean, I go watch mine play, but I don't think we ought to do that. But my son, he loves it. You know, he's a football player, and he wants his son to be a football player. So take him out there and train him. So that's the way life is. But anyway, I want us to think about this. I think that's Matthew 17:20. Huh? Okay, yeah, that one there, Matthew 11:12. And from the time of John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people attacked it. Where is the kingdom of heaven? It's in us. The kingdom of heaven is in you and me. The book of Luke clearly tells you that the kingdom of heaven is in you and the enemy. Now, here's what happens. This took me a long time to figure this out. And since we're talking about Jack, we'll go back 40 years or 40 plus years ago. It's not hard at all for you to realize now that somebody got under your skin back there, Jack. It wasn't hard at all, right? And so that brought that thing upon you. Now, you didn't know what to do. You didn't know how. You had to repent, you know, and then stand on his word, and it would go away because you had it for 40 years. So Jack opened the door to a demonic.
The hard part was to look at it and to know that it would be so easy to remove it surgically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Your daughter, she was wanting to do that, right? Yeah, he has a daughter that's a surgeon. And she says, Dad, I can take that off. He said, but I'm going to let Jesus take it off. See? And, you know, that might have been the reason God left it on there another 8 or 9 months. I'm going to see if this boy of mine is going to really trust me or if he's going to let his daughter take that thing off. But you trusted God, didn't you? And he took it off, didn't he? And one thing about when he takes it off, you know, there's not even a scar there, Jack.
And the price was right.
The price was right, huh? Now, I'm telling you that if you have faith and doubt not, you can, even after somebody has surgery and they have scars on their body, I have seen scars come off several times. You know, several times. I mean, you can pray and ask God, stand on His Word. And I think that's probably another thing that we don't do, is we don't get violent enough when we come to this. Violent people attacked it. When's the last time you had some kind of sickness or something come up on you and you, instead of going to the hospital or the doctor, you got a hold of the devil and you took the Word of God, you begin to quote to him that he's not going to do this to you or your child. Now, Lord, I've realized I've got this come upon me, and I don't know what I did. I don't know what kind of sin I've committed here that's brought this upon me. But I am not going to let this happen to me in the name of Jesus. Now, I remember that little lady that was up there in, where was it? Des Moines? Wasn't Des Moines. Where was it? The lady that walked up, that was, they brought her in on a bed. Grand Rapids, yeah. We were in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we had about 4 days up there, and they brought this little lady in. I mean, she was just a little lady, and I mean, she was skinny. She was laying on the bed. They brought her in, and Cheryl, she felt so much compassion for this lady. She went over and asked her, do you have unforgiveness toward anybody? Well, sure, no problem. Her sister. Now, why is it that people don't know that if you have unforgiveness, you're going to get a demon tormenting you? Nobody ever teaches it, do they? But it's in the Word. You know that now, don't you, Jack? Yeah, you know it's in the Word. So anyway, Cheryl got her to repent of her sins. We cast a demon out of her. We prayed for her, and she couldn't get up. She was still there. So I said, okay, we got to start the service, so we're going to go ahead. So in the next three services, I told the people at the end of the service, I said, now, the last day, I said, if you have already been prayed for, I have so many people to pray for, I said, don't come down again. I said, because I don't have enough time to pray for everybody again. I said, so if you didn't get your healing or miracle, just stand on God's Word. You will get it if you make sure that you've repented of your sins. Well, this lady, they brought her down on her mat and laid her down right on the front on the floor. And she said, I said, ma'am, I've already prayed for you. She said, but Pastor, nobody ever told me that God hates grumbling and complaining till I came to this service. And she said, I have grumbled and complained about everything in my life. Now, how many people do you know in the church that grumbles and complain? Oh, I mean, I'd have to raise both hands, huh? I try not to, but I do once in a while. You know that, Jack? Isn't that something? Isn't that terrible that we do that? And then she said, I never knew that I had to submit to my husband. And she said, I have not submitted to my husband. I've done what I want to do when I want to do it. I never submitted to my husband. But the Word of God clearly says, wives, submit to your husbands in all things. You know, a lot of women don't know that. And if they don't know that, it's going to make them sick. Eventually, it will make them sick.
When they hear it, they get violent.
Yeah. You repent, and then you get violent, right?
When they hear it, they get violent.
Oh, when they hear it, they get violent. You're right, Jack. Oh, my goodness. Let me ask you a question, girls. How many of you girls in here are married? Okay. How many of you girls that are married love to submit to your husband?
Now? No.
Before you knew it was God's command, you didn't want to, okay? Oh, my goodness gracious. Nancy, she didn't submit either. I mean, but is that the way we are as women, Nancy? I mean, good grief, you know, am I going to submit to this guy? After all, I'm a woman. I can do what I want to when I want to. Is that the way we think? Sure it is. Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, but God's word says something else, doesn't it? Wives, submit to your husbands in all things, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So anyway, this woman didn't know that. So I covered all that in really in detail. So she said, I want you to pray for me again. And so she repented now of everything. The unforgiveness, grumbling, complaining, and the not submitting to her husband, everything. She repented of everything. And then I said, okay, this is where she's fixing to get violent. She said, are you sure that's all of your sins? She said, yes, that's all my sins, and I have repented. I promise I will walk in obedience to God's word. And so Cheryl said, let's get her up. Let's make her walk. This woman ain't walked in what, 7 years?
7 years.
7 years she ain't walked in 7 years. So we get her up. We're fixing to use Matthew 11:12. The violent take it by force. We attack these devils. We get this girl up. Yeah, she had all kinds of sin in her life, which opened the door to all these demons of hell, and they were putting her down, and there she was. I mean, she was in bad shape. She hadn't walked in 7 years. She had Parkinson's, and I don't know what else. She had several things, I think. But anyway, we got that woman up. Cheryl was on one side of her. I was on the other side. We raised that little woman up, and I'd start to let off. I said, take a step. And as soon as I'd let off on her, she'd just go down like this. I said, woman, take a step. And so I started shaking her sideways. I said, you're going to walk in the name of Jesus. Now, see, this is one of those take it by force deals. Is that the way you do that? Yeah, take it by force. Walk, woman, walk. And then I'd twist her a little bit like this, and she'd throw a foot out there, and then I'd twist her the other way and throw another foot out there. And first thing you know, we get in these little bitty tiny steps, little bitty tiny steps. And by the time we got to the back door or the back wall back there, this woman was walking kind of like this, all by herself. And I told Cheryl, I said, she's got it. You got it. I said, you take her. And one of the young men behind me, he was an usher or something. He said, sir, I'll hold her on the other side and your wife hold her on the other side. I said, okay, no problem. And so they started up it was an old movie theater. So it had landings, you know. And so I went back down to the front and I started praying for people. I'd only prayed for a couple. And all of a sudden I heard a ruckus like you'd never imagine. People were screaming. I said, I looked up and everybody was looking over toward the wall with their hands up screaming, go, Jesus, go, Jesus. I looked over there and that woman and Cheryl and that boy were running out the back door. We took it by force.
Amen.
Now, if we had just prayed for her and left her right there, that woman would have never walked. She would have never walked. You have to do something. Faith without works is dead. You got to believe God's word. Of course, what we do, we pray over God's word. First of all, you know, I tell people, every healing school, when you come down here to be prayed for, bring me a verse from God's word that'll guarantee you'll get healed. And you know, out of a healing school with 100 people in here, probably 5 will bring me a verse. The rest of them, they didn't hear it. You want to know why we don't get healed? We're not diligently pursuing God. We just want to come and get healed and go do our own thing again. We're not really seeking God. But that's what you got to do. I mean, God knows your heart. If you're not seeking Him, chances of getting healed is very minor. God wants a personal relationship with this guy sitting right here in this chair. Doesn't he, Jack?
Yes, he does.
That's what he wants. He wants a personal relationship with this woman sitting right here, and this woman sitting right here, and this woman sitting right here. God wants a personal relationship with every one of us. That's what he wants, a personal relationship. But God does not want us to be sick. He wants us to be well. But God does not want us to sin. You know, most people, I was raised in a Baptist church, you know, and they always told me, well, you're just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. You ever heard that, Jack?
Still preaching.
Still preaching it, huh? Wow. I might have been an unworthy sinner at one time, but when I got saved, I become a child of God, right? I'm no longer an unworthy sinner. I'm a child of the King. Aren't we, Rosemary?
Amen.
We are children of the King, and we're supposed to obey Him.
Became the righteousness of God.
Amen. That's right. We have become the righteousness of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Anybody know where that verse is at he just quoted? Anybody know where that verse is? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Anybody know? Nobody knows? Nobody knows. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, and let's see what it says. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, and let's see what that says. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. New life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to Himself through what Christ did, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him. 19 and 20. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message He has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ Himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right, or the righteousness of God, with Christ. So when you got saved, you're supposed to become a new creature, right? You're supposed to be a new creature, and that new creature is not supposed to sin no more. Is that right? So that's what we need to teach our people. That our goal is, as children of God in church today, is no sin, right? No sin. Somebody said, well, you know, you can't not sin. Well, I beg to differ with you. You know, I believe we can. I believe that God would never tell us to do something that we couldn't do. I believe that He absolutely give us the power to walk in holiness. If I didn't believe that, in fact, Let's go from here. I want to take you to 1 John. Let's just start out with 1 John 1. Let's just go down through there a little ways, 1 John 1. And let's see what God says in 1 John chapter 1 and on. We'll just start there and see how far we can get down through these scriptures. 1 John 1. That's why when I ask people at nearly every healing school, I ask people, I said, now then, it says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much in James 5:16. If the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, then we need a righteous man. And so I ask the question, how many of you men in here are righteous? And I'll just ask ladies too. How many of you ladies and men know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Okay. Everybody held up their head. You can pray the prayer of faith if you really meant that. You know, now God knows your heart. But if you really believe that, that's what He did for you, right? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can pray the prayer of faith for people. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is that what He said? That's what He said. So, the one who existed from the beginning is the one we have heard and seen. We saw Him with our own eyes and touched Him with our own hands. He is Jesus Christ, the Word of life. This one who is life from God was shown to us, and we have seen Him. And now we testify and announce to you that He is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then He was shown to us. Verse 3 and 4. We're telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy will be complete. I got real tickled this week. I went into a store to buy something. And I was out of town and I needed some fuel. And I pulled in to get some fuel. I went in and I said, "Where are you from, sir?" He said, "I'm from Afghanistan." I said, "Are you a Muslim?" "Yes, I am." I said, "Oh." I said, "So you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" "Absolutely not. I believe Jesus was a prophet. He's our prophet, but he was not the Son of God." He says, "God has no sons. God didn't have a wife, so God can't have any sons." You talk about not knowing who God is. We have no clue of who he is. I remember when I was in Egypt years ago in 1977 when I was building a building over there. Every Friday was fast day. They fasted and prayed. So this one guy, he wasn't fasting. I said, "Why aren't you fasting today?" He said, "Well, it's cloudy today and God can't see me." Isn't that something? That just goes to show us that we don't know who God is. You think a few clouds that God made, you think he would make them where he couldn't see through them? Of course not. I mean, my goodness gracious, God can do anything. He said, "In the thick darkness, I am there with you." You know, anything, I am there with you. I see, you cannot hide from me. Everything is laid bare before me. You know, there's nothing you can do to hide yourself from me. People need to read the Word. In fact, every time somebody asks me, "How do you get this great faith to pray for these people?" I just have to say, I'm in the Word a lot. That's where I get it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if you want to develop great faith, get in God's Word 10, 15, 20 hours a week. You know, 10, 15, 20 hours a week. I usually spend, I would say on Saturday and Sunday, just Saturday and Sunday, I will spend at least 10 or 15 hours on those 2 days studying God's Word. This on Saturday and Sunday. That's not counting the rest of the week. But I read and study the Word a lot. Five and six. This is the message he has given us to announce to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth. You know, this is really clear. In fact, one of the young men that used to work for me a long time ago, his mother got off on a tangent and got to doing some crazy things, and she was sleeping around with another guy and everything else. And I told him, he said, "But my mother says she's a Christian." I said, "Read 1 John 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then see what you think." He read 1 John 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He come back and said, "Thurman, she's not a Christian." I said, "That's exactly right. She's not a Christian." Seven and eight. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. And when we walk in love with everybody, the blood of Jesus just continuously cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. Now, this is where we get this in the Baptist church, that we're a sinner. If we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. In other words, I say, see, right there, it says right there in 1 John chapter 1, you are a sinner. Okay, the next verse 9 and 10. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. So how many did He cleanse us of? All of them. Now, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. Now, let me ask you this question. In your life, have you sinned? Oh, yeah. You tell me you ain't never sinned in your whole life, I'm going to tell you, you are a lying dude. Guarantee. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Everybody. I don't care who you are, you've sinned. But now then, look at this scripture. Let's go to the chapter 2 and the first couple of verses there, and let's see what it says. John 1 and on. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. Now, wait a minute. He just said we were sinners, right? But now then he's writing this to us so we will not what? So did he believe it was possible to not sin?
Yes.
Why did he write this to us? So we would not sin. Is that what it says?
Amen.
Yes. Now then, before we got saved and probably even after we got saved, we probably all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But when we come to Jesus and ask him to forgive us, how many of our sins did he forgive?
All.
So now then, we don't have no sin no more, do we? Now then, John's writing this rules for us so that we don't sin no more, right? Now then, from this day forth, when you get a hold of this, you should say, my dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who pleases God completely. Aren't we glad we got Jesus?
Yes.
Now then, let me ask you this question. In the last month, I want you to be honest. In the last month, how many of you have sinned at least once? Isn't that terrible? Children of God. I even do it. You know, I mean, that's unbelievable, you know, that I would do something stupid and sin. Isn't that something? But John's telling me I don't have to, right? I do not have to sin. I am not to sin. I am to walk in holiness and obedience to his word. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He takes away not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. I just think. I don't care who you are. Just like that Muslim guy that I talked to in that little store. If he would come and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, would God clean him? Sure he will, yeah. But man, this guy, he ain't going there with me. Oh, no, Jesus is a prophet, but he ain't the Son of God. I guarantee he's not the Son of God. Well, this book right here that we're in says if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're an antichrist. That's right here in this book. So we're going to get on down to it here in a few minutes. So he's an antichrist. Verse 3 and 4. How can we be sure that we belong to him? By obeying his commandments. Now, what is his commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's all we got to do. You have no idea how many people, especially women, and especially in Germany and Norway, when we've been to Germany and Norway, you have no idea how many women I've had come up that were sick with lung problems and heart problems and all these kind of problems. And their sin is they do not love themselves. Now, they love God with all their heart, and they love their neighbor, but they don't love themselves. I just got to where I just asked the question. When they come and say, what's wrong with you? Well, I've got a heart problem, or I got lung problems, or whatever. I said, man, all that revolves around your love walk. I said, are you walking in love? Do you love yourself? Who could love me? I look at this woman. She's a beautiful woman. I mean, Cheryl and I ministered to lots of beautiful women over there. Those women were beautiful women. But they couldn't love themselves because I got a little mole right here on my cheek. Who could love me? Isn't that something? Isn't that a shame? They've let the enemy deceive them totally, completely. We had that one little woman over there that Cheryl told me that about the second or third night. She said, honey, you've got to teach on love. These people don't know what love is. And so I did. And that little girl translated for me. She was a Norwegian, but she spoke real good English. And so she had to read the scripture. I would read it in English, and then she'd have to read it in Norwegian, and then she'd quote it in Norwegian, and I'd quote it in English. Well, by the time the evening was over, boy, she had been pounded and pounded and pounded with her love walk. She went home that night and got in front of the mirror and said, Lord, you did say I have to love myself. Said, Lord, it's all over the place. So she said, Lord, I repent for my sin, and I promise you from this day forth, I will love myself. And the king spoke to her and said, my dear, now that you've obeyed me, I'm going to heal you. And the next morning, this girl that couldn't walk from here to the back wall back there without being totally out of breath had walked 3 miles to the ministry center and 3 miles back. And she was totally, completely healed. Now then, I told her, I said, you know, you're going to have to give this testimony on television. But we have anywhere from 100,000 to 150,000 people watching Norwegian television at night. So she got up there and gave her testimony. And my goodness, we had women drive 10 hours. Isn't that something? We had women that would drive 10 hours by themselves in the Norwegian country or Sweden or Scandinavia or something, whatever. They would drive to get us to pray for them. They saw that little girl get healed. That little girl, 50 years old. She was a grandmother. Maybe she's older than that, huh? Yeah, she's 60 years old. Cheryl said, yeah, she's 60 years old. But does it make any difference how old you are?
No.
No, for as God's concerned, you're still his child. You know, he loves you. You're his child, and age don't have nothing to do with it. Age don't have anything to do with God's love for you and me. It don't have anything to do. In fact, I'm going to tell you that God, the older we get, the more he expects us to walk in a stronger faith. Y'all understand that? You've been in church all your life? God expects you to diligently seek him and walk in faith. And so many people in the church today were just like I was most of my life. I didn't have a clue what faith was. Jack, how many men did ever pray a prayer of faith for you and use the word of God to pray it and then said, I guarantee you're healed?
None.
Huh? I did. But is God a respecter of persons? No. Will he do that same thing for Jack? Yes, and he has done it for Jack a lot of times since then, hadn't he, Jack? Since you've learned those principles and you take his word and you pray over something, man, he answers your prayer too, doesn't he? Absolutely. God is an awesome God. You know, but I am completely convinced that we don't take it away from the enemy by force enough. We just kind of back off and, well, let me come up there and let Thurman pray for me. And if I don't get healed, well, I'll just not get healed. I have people that talk to me like that. In fact, I talked to a young boy the other day that was losing his eyesight. I think he was 38 or something like that, 38 or 40. I said, now, son, when I pray for you, you got to believe. He said, I do. I said, okay, you sure you believe? Yes. You've repented of your sins? Yes. I said, okay, so what are you going to do now? He said, well, I've been taking my treatments in Austin, so I'm going to drive back down there and take my treatments every week. Uh-oh. I thought, this boy didn't believe nothing. You all see the difference? He didn't believe. He thought he was believing. He drove out here to get prayed for, but now then, although he got prayed for, and we kicked that devil out of him, broke the curse over him, he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. He said he did, but he didn't. You know, so I can guarantee you that boy, I hate to say this, that boy will not get his healing on his eyes from God because he's going to go back to Austin and have his eyes, the problems taken care of down to wherever he's going for the stuff. How can we be sure that we belong to Him? By obeying His commandments. If someone says, I belong to God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and does not live in the truth. That's pretty stuff, isn't it? In other words, when somebody comes in and says, well, I go to church on Christmas and Easter, God tells you to go to church every Sunday on a regular basis. And if you don't, you really don't know God. I mean, according to the Word. Is that what it says, Deborah? That's what it says. It's amazing. Five and six. But those who obey God's Word really do love Him. That is the way to know whether or not we live in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did. Let's go from right there to 1 Peter 2:21. And I want to show you how Christ lived His life. 1 Peter 2:21, 22, 23, 24. 1 Peter 2:21 through 24. Look at this. Then we'll come back here. This suffering is all part of what God has called you to. Christ, who suffered for you, is your example. Follow in His steps. In fact, put that on there in the King James. I like that much better in the King James. Pull that up in the King James, 1 Peter 2, 21 and through 24 in the King James. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Now that we're supposed to follow Jesus' steps, right? And then this one, I like it so well because it tells you what He did. Who did how much sin? If we're supposed to follow Jesus, right there it says He did no sin, so how much sin are we supposed to have? That's a pretty good command, isn't it? Can you do that? Come on, girl. Can you do that?
Sometimes.
No, that ain't the right answer.
It's the truth. I try to do it.
Okay, I'm going to try somebody else. Richard, can you do that?
No.
But you're going to try harder, right? Yes. Okay, yeah, me too. I'm going to try harder. I mean, our King, is that what our King said? We should have how much sin in our life?
None.
Now, would the King ask us to do something that's impossible for us to do? No. But is it going to take something to get there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're going to really have to work on it, I guarantee you. It's tough, isn't it, girl? It's very tough. Yeah, I guarantee it's very tough. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. And His steps were, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. I've already come to realize that the only way I can have no guile in my mouth if I put two layers of 2-inch duct tape around my mouth. You believe that, Jack?
I believe that.
I mean, when some of these guys that you're dealing with and these contractors, it's pretty easy to lose it if you ain't careful, right? Sure you can. I mean, when somebody does something that's not exactly... Oh, my goodness gracious. Can you do that, girl? You can't do it either. Well, we're batting 100%. Oh, me. Okay. So, do we have a new goal to shoot for? How much sin are we supposed to have in our life, young lady? How much? None. Brother, how much sin? I mean, that's Jesus' words. That's not my teaching, is it? Jesus is the one who said that, right? That's right out of His book. I didn't put this book together. Jesus did. For who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23 and 24. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Wow. That's tough, isn't it, Kim? And I'm going to tell you that I bet you there's not any of you. I know I haven't. But I bet there's not any of y'all ever had a cat of nine tails hit across your back just one time. Have you? No, I never have either. And I don't want to have. But how many times did they hit Jesus? We don't know. The Romans beat him mercilessly. Now, if it had been the Jews, they could have only went to 39 licks. Because the Jews, they thought that after 39, they'd kill you. But the Romans were trying to kill him. They beat him with a cat of nine tails mercilessly. I mean, you know, just they tried to kill Jesus. And of course, when the scripture says in Isaiah 52, in the last couple of verses there in Isaiah 52, it said his body was unrecognizable as a human being. That's beat up pretty bad, isn't it? The closest thing I ever saw to that was the Passion. I mean, that's an awful, awful video. But I've watched it several times. I need to realize what the King did for me. You need to realize what he done for you. So you can change and start walking holy in his presence. Because if you want to see God do wonderful things, just think. If you will seek him and put him first and love him and worship him and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, you can come and ask me for
anything.
Isn't that awesome, Jack?
That is wonderful.
You can come and ask me for anything. But that thing's been on my hand for 40 years, Lord. He said, do you not think I can take that off? Isn't that something? So, yes, Lord, I believe you can take it off. Okay, let's pray over that thing. In the name of Jesus, we curse that thing, command it to leave in Jesus' name. Now, I guarantee it's going to go away because the Word of God says, if two of us on earth agree about anything, Matthew 18:19, it's done. And every time Jack would come back to church, I said, how's it? Oh, he said, it's still there. But he said, it's gone. It's still there, but it's gone. That sounds like he's crazy, doesn't it? But he was seeing something in the future. He was calling things that be not as though they were. And he believed that in his heart. And then one day he looked up there and the thing was gone. That's just like me. When I was a kid, the only miracle I ever saw in a Baptist church happened to me. In fact, I was working at the Chevrolet house. I was a mechanic working on cars. And I had warts all over my arms, my hands, all over. And I was always knocking them things off working on cars. You know, I just would bleed. One day a guy come in there, he said, Thurman, he said, you know Miss Ott Klein right up the street up here? She takes those things off? I said, what? Miss Ott Klein takes warts off? I said, I've been to the doctor and the doctors have burned them off. But I said, you know, they come right back. He said, well, go see her. So I went home and told Mom. I said, Mom, Miss Ott Klein, this is a guy told me today, Miss Ott Klein takes warts off. She said, Thurman, she's in my Sunday school class. I never heard nothing like that. So let's go see her. So we went up to Miss Ott Klein's house and we walked in. And Mother said, a man told my son today that you take warts off. Well, she said, yes. I said, what do I need to do? She says, just go over there and write your full name down on a piece of paper. Thurman Lee Scrivener. I said, that's all I got to do? She said, that's all you got to do. I'll take care of the rest, me and Jesus. So I didn't know what to do. I had about 40 of them. I had them all over my hands, my fingers. I had a couple of real big ones on my elbow. That's the ones I'd knock off all the time working on cars. They'd bleed like crazy. So anyway, I said, what do I need to do? She said, nothing. They'll go away. Do you hear any faith in that woman's voice?
Yeah.
You don't have to do nothing. They'll go away. I guarantee it. She knew her Jesus, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
She knew her Jesus. So anyway, about 3 or 4 weeks later, I'm sitting there eating breakfast with Mom one morning, and I look up and I said, Mom, there ain't no warts on my hands, no scars, no nothing. Where I had them burnt, oh, Mom, they're all gone. She said, oh, my goodness gracious, let's run up to Ms. Ottklein. Let me run by the store and get her a present. So, see, that's what we think. We run by there, and Mom bought her a little present. We took it up, and she said, Ms. Klein, those warts you prayed over, whatever you did on my son, they all went away, every one. I said, wow. I said, this is awesome. I said, how did you do that? Oh, she said, it's quite simple. You just pray. You know, I don't know why, I don't know what she did that got them to leave. I mean, well, I do know, too, because she told me. Whenever she prayed the prayer of faith for me, I asked her, I said, how in the world did you do this? I said, I would love to be able to do this. Everybody wants to be able to see God do things, right? She said, Thurman, come in here, I'll tell you. This is the way you do it. Let not the warts on the hands and the arms of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let not the warts on the hands and the arms of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let not the warts on the arms and the hands of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. She said, that's all I do. I pray that prayer 3 times. She said, I've done that many times, and they go away. Well, I mean, here I am, a little 18, 19-year-old boy. Now then, I remembered that prayer. I quoted that prayer 1,000 times to myself. But did I have enough faith to use it? No. No, not enough faith at all. So anyway, years later, I'm flying across the North Atlantic with a guy, and I look over, and he's got a bunch of warts on his hand. I said, would you like for those warts to come off? Well, first, I take it back, the first one I did was a boy over here at the Lakeland Baptist Church. That was the first time I used the prayer. Clifton Wayne Hurley. He came in, and he had a great big one right there on the top of his hand. I mean, that thing was big. I said, Cliff, what is that thing on your hand? He said, that's a wart. He said, I've put this stuff on it. I'm trying to get it to come off. I said, so you'd like for it to come off? He said, absolutely, I'd like for it to come off. But I said, I have not been able to get it to come off. I said, come over here, Cliff. And I felt all over it, rubbed on it. I cursed it in the name of Jesus. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, that thing's going to go away. I told Cliff, I said, it's going to go away, I guarantee. Now, I didn't pray for him right there. I didn't have the faith to pray for him in his presence. You know, we're dumb. Y'all know that? Any of y'all been dumb like me? So you know what I mean, right? I couldn't pray, so I went home. I said, I did tell him, though. I said, Cliff, it will go away. It will go away. So I went home and got on my knees and trembling before God, and I quoted that prayer 3 times. Let not that wart on the hand of Clifton Wayne Hurley corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I quoted it 3 times. About 3 or 4 weeks later, my phone rang one afternoon. He said, Thurman, this is Cliff. I said, well, praise God, son. I said, how are you doing? He said, you know that wart you told me was on my hand is going to go away? I said, yeah. He said, it's gone. And guess what this man of faith said? You don't mean it. Is God a little merciful with us, Deborah, when we first start? If he wasn't merciful with us to start, we would never get there, would we? We would never be there. I mean, I said, you don't mean it. Now, I didn't have much faith, did I, Jack? It wasn't exactly the way I did it by the time you come out here. I prayed for Jack, and I said, now I guarantee you repented of all your sins. I'm laying hands on your back, and I'm guaranteeing that back, that pain's going to go away, and you're going to get healed. And then I said, okay, took my hand off. I said, how you feel? He said, it hurts just as bad as it did when I walked in. I said, okay, just go out that door toward your car and start praising and worshiping the King for my healing. And before he got to the car, Jack was completely healed. Isn't that amazing? God, he honors faith, doesn't he, Jack? Yes. Just like he did with your hand. He honored faith, but Jack had to stand for months to get that thing to come off. Now then, see, I'm thinking that Matthew 11:12, if we were to get more violent, just like when Cheryl and I was up there in Grand Rapids, we got that woman up and we got her to walking. And that woman ran all over the parking lot that night. A woman that hadn't walked in 7 years. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Isn't that something? Wow. We have to... Yeah, Paul. Speak up.
The book of Hebrews talks more about faith than any other book in the Bible than the one I've been able to see.
Yeah. Hebrews 11 especially. I mean, everything that was done that was a miracle was done by faith. Wasn't it? Yeah, Jack.
The interesting thing that I miss as a Baptist for so long about the question or the word faith, I always thought it only really pertains to faith in Jesus. But if you read chapter 11 of Hebrews, it's basically what it's saying is these folks believed everything God said.
Amen.
I mean, Abraham didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah or Jesus was the Christ. He believed that God had a place for him to go, and he just headed out there. And then he believed that God would raise his son, and on down. And it's some very simple things that the founders and the heroes of the faith believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't that something? Wow. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Is that what he said? Wow. Mm. But he says there, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now think about that. Just think about that. That last little verse. Who his own self, we're talking about Jesus here, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree or the cross, that we being dead to sins. Now then, if you are dead to sin, how can you sin any longer? Romans is very clear about that in Romans 5, 6, and 7. If we really do stay dead to sin, then that's where you can get God to do something. If you stay dead to sin, I mean, dead to sin. You know how hard it is to stay dead to sin when something happens to you? When somebody does something that hurts you? You obviously know that, huh? Because you said you don't think you can walk there.
Well, I think we can, but sometimes we can and we don't even know we can.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We need to walk in faith, don't we?
As close as we can.
As close as we can. Yes, I will guarantee it. But just think about what he said. If we stay dead to our sins, we should live unto righteousness. Now, if we do stay dead to sin and live unto righteousness, what's the next line say? By whose stripes you are what?
Healed.
You're healed. So, isn't that something? So, if you and me walk in faith, walk in love, walk in righteousness, and do what God says, and stay dead to sins, do not resurrect this beast. I mean, when somebody says something to us, just don't go there. Just say, I ain't going there. I'm just going to stay dead. Jesus killed this thing. I'm just going to let it stay dead. Now, obviously, we can do that, right?
Amen.
Amen. But it's kind of hard, isn't it? Amen. Yes, it is. It's kind of hard. But if we stay dead to sin, then what does that next line say? By whose stripes you are? You're healed. Let's go to Matthew 8:16-17. Let's go to Matthew 8:16-17. I want you to see this. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, should we be sick?
No,
we should not. But are we to sin? No. What if we do? Oh, my Lord.
Yes,
if we sin, we get whacked, don't we?
Yes.
The little devil. In fact, let's go to 1 John. Let's go back over to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John 5:18. Let's look at that. 1 John 5:18. Whoops. 1 John 5:18. In fact, I was listening to TBN the other night, and there was a guy that was doing the emceeing on the show, and he told the guy that was on there, he had seen a few miracles. And he told him, the guy that was doing the MC, he said, I have never seen a miracle. I thought, wow. You know, a few years ago, that could have been me. Could it be you?
Yeah.
A few years ago, hadn't been many years ago. You didn't see no miracles, no healing. You didn't even know the healing power of Jesus was there, did you, Jack? No. He went to a good church. Big church. In fact, I got so tickled at Jack after he got healed. His senior pastor over at that church was sick. And he tried everything to get him to come over here. And he even guaranteed him. He said, if you'll come over there and repent of your sins and let that man pray for you, I guarantee Jesus will heal you. And he would not come. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe.
So many people care more about their opinion.
Yeah.
About their physical healing.
Ain't that something? Boy, there ain't nothing like physical healing, Jack.
Ain't nothing.
When your back's been hurting you for all them years and you get rid of that pain, hey. And then when you've had that big old lump on your hand for 40 years and we curse it and kick it out, and you go, it's wonderful not to have it, right? What did your daughter, your surgeon, what did she say about that? What was her explanation?
Hardly anything. Far away, and so it's hard for me to have extended communication with her.
Mm.
Although she has seen, as a result of your tapes, she has seen someone brought back from the dead in her presence.
Wow, praise the Lord.
One of her patients deteriorated and went, the term, medical term is non-responsive. She's a heart surgeon. So
yeah, yeah.
Kind of walks on the edge of life and death with her patients. And one of her patients, her term was is non-responsive. That means the flat line on all the monitors. Because the heart's not responding, the brain's not responding. And she grabbed this man's wife or relative or something, and she said, let's pray.
Praise the Lord.
And then, later on, after he revived, he gave a rendition of everything that went on in that operating room from a higher vantage point.
Wow. He was still alive and well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the daughter said, they thanked her. She said, I didn't do it.
And you always give Jesus all the glory and praise. Praise the King. All we get to do is pray the prayer of faith, and Jesus does the rest, right?
Amen.
Wow, is he an awesome God?
Yes.
I mean, he's an awesome God. There's just nothing hard for God. I just stand in awe. Look at this, 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You know, the first time I read that, the first 10 or 20 times I read that, I thought, God, I can't be your son. I know I'm a sinner. I mean, they tell me in the Baptist church all the time, I'm a sinner, an unworthy sinner. I was saved by grace. I sin all day, every day. So, Lord, I can't be your child if I sin all day, every day. if we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now then, when I done a little research on that, I found out that really means that we do not practice sinning. That's what it means. In other words, I don't practice sinning. I don't practice, you know, sin. I just don't do that, you know. Does that mean that I'm never going to sin? No, I may fall short somewhere, but I am not going to go out and practice sinning. You know, I mean, y'all know what I mean, right? You're not going to go out and practice telling lies and, you know, and practice being mean to people and all. You're not going to practice going out on Friday night with the guys and getting drunk and come in wiped out. You don't do that as a Christian. You just don't do that. We know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself from what?
Evil.
You keep yourself from evil. And if you keep yourself from evil, the wicked one cannot touch you.
Amen.
Is that good news?
Amen.
Hey, do we have to be concerned about the devil? No, huh? All we got to do is be concerned about walking in holiness, right?
Amen.
We walk in obedience to God's word. If we don't sin, if you do keep yourself clean and pure, do you have to sweat the devil? No. That puts a little bit more in there to make you want to walk holy, right?
Amen.
Yes, absolutely.
If Jesus is in your heart, you can't keep sinning. You cannot keep.
Yeah, yeah.
You are under conviction.
Yeah.
Amen.
You cannot.
Amen.
You can't just keep sinning, can you? Yeah.
Not willfully.
Yep. And I just see people all the time that's in church that come to church and got saved and then they left. You know, and they're living with some girl or guy out of wedlock. In fact, that little girl, I was amazed that that couple brought their little girl out here one night. Yeah, and she had diarrhea and upset stomach and I don't know what all. She had all kinds of problems, cramps in her stomach, and she had migraine headaches and everything. The first time she came, she didn't even come up for prayer because she heard me preaching about what sin does to us. And she did not believe that. So she told her mom and dad when she left, she said, "Don't ever ask me to go back out there. I hate that guy. I'm not going to go back to his church ever again." Well, 2 or 3 weeks later, they finally enticed her to come one more time. Well, that Sunday when she came up here and said, "Pastor, I have a question. I am living with a boy out of wedlock. I'm not married to him. Are you telling me that my sin is what's bringing all this sickness upon me?" I said, "Guarantee it, woman. Guarantee it. That's what's bringing it upon you." I said, "The Word of God says that every sexual sin, God, Jesus Christ himself, will judge every sexual sin." Now, how would you like for Jesus to judge you? I believe I'll pass on that. You know, I'd hate for the king to judge me, wouldn't you? Wow, but that's what the scripture says. Jesus judges every sexual sin. So now we understand why so many people are so sick and afflicted. And so anyway, what do we got to do to get rid of that?
Repent.
Repent, right? You repent, will God forgive you?
Yes.
Yes, he will. Praise God, he will. But and then don't go do it again, right? Do it quickly. Yes, that's right. Do it quickly. Very quickly. So, praise the Lord. Anyway, the little girl, she came up here and said, "Are you telling me that all of these problems are because of my sin?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You mean if I repent and make God a promise standing right here that you'll pray for me and he'll heal me?" I said, "I guarantee it. Guarantee it." See, a lot of people never get this principle down, do they, Jack? They don't ever get it. So if somebody does come up to be prayed for, you pray for the little girl and she's still sick next week and next week and next week, and she's worse because she did not get her sin taken care of. But I've learned that principle. So anyway, the little girl come up and she said, "Okay, Lord, I repent. I will not go back to bed with that boy unless he puts a ring on my finger first. I will not sleep with him one more time unless I'm married to him." And she said, "Lord, I repent for all of my sins." I prayed for her. The little girl was instantly healed of everything. When she came back 2 weeks later, she came up here with, you was here, wasn't you, Kim?
Tears in her eyes.
Tears in her eyes, saying, oh, I want to tell you folks that 3, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, when I come here the first time, I hated Pastor Thurman.
Now I love him.
Now I love him, she said. It got her healed. She said, I repented of all my sins and did what God told me to do. She said, I had no idea that it would bring all this sickness upon me. But most people don't know that, do they, Jack? You know,
hardly anybody.
Yeah, they just don't know it. Why do they not know it?
Well, when you tell them, they get violent again.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah, they do. I was telling this young lady back here, I said, you know, she was talking about how wonderful that CD was about God's power. If you've not listened to God's power, make sure you get a copy of it. It's right over here. And make sure you listen to it. It's an hour and a half CD. It's a great teaching on some of the miracles I've seen God do in my life. I done it at Bill Gothard's conference before 3,000 people a few years ago. And I told her, I said, you know, after I'd done that, the next morning, the pastors of those big churches and the PhDs from the seminary, they met the next morning and they threw me out of the Bill Gothard conference because I made that teaching God's power. Bill had me signed up to speak at 4 or 5 conferences all over the country. San Diego, San Francisco, you name it. I was going to speak. I think the one in San Francisco was going to be 10,000 people. And boy, the people that heard the teachings down at Big Sandy, there's 3,000 there. They knew a lot of these people. And man, they called them, told them, you got to be there when this guy talks. And they came, and then I wasn't there. They said, where did he go? And they contacted me and said, what happened? And I said, well, they threw me out. In fact, Ty, he was my associate pastor at the time. And I said, Ty, I got thrown out of the Bill Gothard conference. He said, what did you teach? I said, well, you know, I said, God's power was what I did. And I said, and the other one there, I did it the next morning in 1 hour and 5 minutes, how to get a lost person saved. I said, those are the two teachings I did that day, those 2 days. He said, I'm going to take that God's power home. I'm going to see what got you thrown out. He said, come back next Sunday to church. He said, Thurman, that's one of the most anointed CDs you've ever made. Now, isn't that something? It is, isn't it? God was there that day, Jack. I was just telling this young lady back here, I said, there was a young lady. When I told the story about Philip and all his warts, Philip had hundreds of warts on his body. And God took 3 weeks to take every wart off of Philip's body. But there was a little girl about this tall that came up with her dad, and she said, whenever you told the story about Philip, I looked down and I had 16 warts on my hand. And she said, I looked up at my daddy and I said, Dad, Jesus doesn't love Philip any more than he loves me. If he took all those warts off of Philip, he'll take these off of me. And she said, thank you, Lord, for taking them off. And he said, Thurman, as God is my witness, those 16 warts fell off of her hand onto the floor. The faith of a child. Is that what we need? We need to get the faith of a child. You know, when you begin to get a little older, faith? Who needs to go to church? You know, who needs to read God's Word? Nobody needs the Word of God. Is that what you hear people saying all the time? All the time. Especially men. I let my wife and kids go to church. That's for kids. That's for women. You know, that's not for men. Yeah, real men go to church, don't they, honey? Real men go to church and they learn God's Word. And then when they pray, God shows up, doesn't he, Richard? Yeah. I mean to tell you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I know. Yes, absolutely. God shows up for men and... Oh, that happens to women too, huh?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I got to tell you one thing. This week, I gave this Korean woman at Quiznos in Arkansas your CD, God's Power. She was just a mess. I held her in my arms. I didn't even know this woman. And I said, did you know that God loves you? And she just wept. I mean, so much she was shaking in my arms. And I said, she was just talking negative stuff. I said, you need to start claiming God's Word and speaking positive. I said, let me give you this CD. And the next day, I met her at her door, and she said, I'm powerful. This is after listening to
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
I just thank you so much.
Amen. Just think, when they finally run into just one man that's walked in the power of God, they can get a hold of it too.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Change their life forever. That's what we want to see God do, right?
Yes.
Change people's life forever. But you're right. Yeah, women do the same thing. Oh, well, I'm older now. I don't have to go to church anymore. That was what we did. Went to Sunday school when we were kids. But now who needs to go to Sunday school and church? Every one of God's children needs to be in church. They need to be in His Word, studying it every day. I mean, isn't that amazing? But you know, if you've been in church like I was all my life and we never prayed for nobody, Jack. We never saw a healing or a miracle or nothing. You know, so if it don't work for the pastor, and it don't work for the deacons, it don't work for the Sunday school teachers, then ain't no chance it'd work for me. You know, I'm just a little nobody in the church. But when you get a hold of it for real, God don't care who you are, does He? No. He's looking for a woman of faith. He'll do great things through you, young lady. You want to see Him do those things? Absolutely. I love it. And of course, there's lots of people that come to this church. Lots of people have been here for healing schools. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many thousand people we've seen God heal. Becky Elton and Nancy prayed for a guy here a while back. We had a guy back there in the back. He had a stroke. He was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't hardly talk or nothing else. And they went back there and prayed over him at a healing school, and all of a sudden the guy is up and walking and everything. And the next day they come to church, and the friend that brought him, he said, "My goodness gracious." He said, "Yesterday I couldn't get this guy to talk at all." He said, "Since we left here and after Eldon prayed for us," he said, "all he's done is talk."
Hallelujah.
Isn't that something? Amen. See, God is looking for faith. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for those that walk in love. Is that what He's looking for?
Amen.
Yes. And whenever we get a hold of that, and when we realize that His promises, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:20. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 1:18, 19, and 20. 2 Corinthians. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and by Silas, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes." How many times is God's promises yes? All the time. Wait a minute. If all of His promises are yes, then if we got a problem in our life, what do we have to do? Repent. Step into faith. Have somebody pray for us in faith, and then stand on His promises. If it takes 9 months, you stand on it. Right, Jack? And it goes away. You don't never give up. Because if anywhere along there, if you'd have give up, if you'd have made one negative statement, well, I guess it's not going to come off. It would not have come off.
I had several of those go through my brain.
But He didn't say in your brain, Jack. He said, in your heart. Do not doubt in your heart. Let's look at that. And let's go back and look at that. James 1, 6 and 7. Oh, I didn't finish 20? Oh, okay, not 20. Yeah, okay, verse 20, and then we'll go on. Verse 20. Verse 18, 19, and 20. Verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Wow. What's wrong? Are we locked up again? "For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Isn't that awful? Awesome? All the promises of God in Christ are yes. So, if it's by us, if He's already done everything He's going to do, then we're going to have to get more bold and forceful. We're going to have to kick out this devil. when he comes in and you do something and you sin or whatever, you're going to have to repent of your sin and kick out that devil and stand by faith on God's word. You know, it's very possible, Jack, that if we had a really stood by faith every Sunday, rebuked that thing, commanded to leave in the name of Jesus, that it would have went away in 3 or 4 weeks. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Wow. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We're going to make it work. It's us. Wow. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? God has made us so many promises. Let's go back to that Matthew 17:20, and I want you to see that. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, the question they had just asked, Lord, why could we not heal this boy? Now, why did we not ever answer that question? I mean, first of all, most of us never had the faith to pray for anybody. Is that right, Jack? I mean, for years you didn't have it, just like me. I didn't have it at all, so I couldn't pray the prayer of faith for nobody, you know. But now I'm just looking for somebody to pray for. Don't you love to see God do wonderful things? Yes, I love to see God do wonderful things. He says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Isn't that amazing? Now let's go to Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. See, we don't believe these promises, unfortunately. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, whenever I prayed that prayer for Dr. Young out in Salt Lake City, Utah, how long ago was that, Eldon? 4 or 5 years?
2005.
Wow. That's amazing. 2005, he had fell out of a tree 35 feet up in the air and crushed his back. And he called me at 10 o'clock at night and wanted me to pray the prayer of faith for him. And he had already bought me and Cheryl a ticket to come out there to pray for him the next day. When I asked him, I said, are you in excruciating pain? He said, sir, I am in terrible pain. I said, the Jesus I serve doesn't want you to be in pain. So I took Mark 11:23 and I said, I guarantee my Jesus will give you a supernatural healing in the name of Jesus. I said, call me with your praise report. Hung up the telephone. Long prayer, huh? Isn't that amazing? 15 minutes later, Dr. Young called me back. He's completely healed. Completely healed. Got a brand new back. We went ahead and went out there the next day. He picked us up at the airport in his own car. Isn't that amazing? What's impossible with us if we believe?
Anything.
We can do anything. You had a question back there?
Yes. When you said earlier that if you had kept rebuking the devil, that ward would have left a lot sooner, would constant rebuking be construed as a lack of faith? You know, in other words, why not do it once and believe in faith that it's done and the devil is gone? Or, so that's my question. Would that be construed as lack of faith that it happened the first time you prayed?
Sure. Well, the devil, he's a very strong, resistive beast. You know, here's what the devil will do to you. Once you've sinned and he gets in, then you can repent of your sins and start driving him out. And he'll say, woman, I ain't going. I ain't going. I don't believe you really believe. And he will put you to the test. It may be for a day, a week, or a month, just like Jack. But if you know you've repented of every sin and you're standing on the promises of God, he has to go away because he has no power over you once you've repented of your sins. Now, don't try to get him to go away if you've got a sin in your life. You know, if there's any kind of sin in your life, he will laugh at you. And the reason I say that, I've told this story a few times. Some of you may not have heard this. But there was this little girl that everybody was working on getting her delivered, and she was 13 years old. And this, I think it was a Pentecostal pastor and his wife, they were very good in deliverance. And so they were rebuking this devil. They'd been with this little girl 2 or 3 days. And the thing that was so awesome, the very first day, her hair was so matted. Unbelievable. You couldn't comb it at all. Just terrible. And when they commanded those demons to come out of her hair just fell into a beautiful, sweet, loving, soft head of hair. That's awesome to see something like that. Well, they were continuing to drive this devil out. And of course, you know, they had remitted her sins and everything. And they're 2 or 3 days into this now. And this pastor, he's there 8 or 10 hours a day, him and his wife. And finally he gets tired one afternoon, and one of the other pastors said, "Oh, I see how you do this. Now I'll do it." He said, "No problem." He said, "I can command these demons to come out of her. I'm developing great faith." So he said, "You devils of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus." And that devil in that little girl just looked right over at her, at him, and said, "I don't have to obey you. You are sleeping with your church secretary. Do you think they know what you're doing?"
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. The devil knows what you're doing, doesn't he, Jack? You can't hide nothing from him or God, because God's the one that lets him know what you're doing. And God's the one that sends the devil to your house. And so when you get the sin repented of, I mean, as long as you live in that sin, I mean, this guy, there's no way this guy could have got a demon cast out of this woman. And of course, I learned that great lesson out there in Silver City, New Mexico, here a few years ago. We had a woman that we had been casting demons out of her. This woman had more demons than any human being I had ever seen. This woman had 2,823 demons. 2,823 in one woman. And I'm casting these demons out, and of course, I couldn't get them to come out either. And they kept telling me they had legal right to be there. And I finally said, "Well, what is the legal right? I command you to tell me." And they finally said, "This woman allowed us in when she joined the Rainbow Girls 24 years ago." That's a little organization that's an offshoot of the Masonic Lodge or the Eastern Star. Now, the Masonic Lodge, the Eastern Star, is a Luciferian organization. As a Christian, you don't want to have nothing to do with that organization. Neither one of them. If you're a Mason, get out of it. Repent. Tell God you're sorry you've been deceived. You do not want nothing to do with the Masons. They will kill you and your children. It's terrible. But anyway, whenever we got down, after 7.5 hours of casting demons out of this woman, I got down to 4 demons. And they just ain't coming out. They just will not come out. I am commanding them in the name of Jesus. Here we are in our Cheryl Mine's hotel room. Dave's down at the foot of the bed holding this woman's feet down. Cheryl's sitting right beside her with a pillow and a towel trying to mop up all the junk that comes out of her mouth. And I'm literally sitting straddled to this woman holding her down on our bed. That's quite a scene, isn't it? Yeah, quite a scene. But I'm commanding these devils to leave. And the last 4 just ain't going to go. So I said, "Lord," I looked over the clock. I said, "Lord, in 1 hour, I've got to preach tonight." I said, "I've been dealing with this woman for 7.5 hours. I said, "Lord, when's this going to be over?" Listen carefully. He said, "Son, I am a faith God. And when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over." Isn't that something? When you believe it's going to be over, that's when it's over. So I reached up and grabbed this woman one more time, and I said, "You devils of hell, this is the last time I'm speaking to you." I said, "Every one of you guys are going to come out of her. You're going to go to the abyss, and you're never going to enter again." I said, "It's done in Jesus' name." And I throwed her down on the bed. I jumped off the bed. I said, "Woman, get up. You're healed. You're delivered in the name of Jesus." Now do you see what it means, take it by force?
Amen.
Yes. because we would got her sins repented for. Well, already I remitted her sins. In fact, that devil, when I found out it was the Rainbow Girls, I said, well, I'll just call her back up and have her repent of that sin. And that devil spoke to me right out of her mouth and said, we are so interwoven in her brain, we will never allow her to repent of that sin. I said, that's no problem. And in that case, then I will remit her sins. John 20, 23, I can do that. And that demon come across that table and spit all over me. And she said, that demon her out of her mouth said, almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have read it don't believe it. Isn't that sad? When I first started saying that we could remit people's sins, some of the pastors, the people went to other churches and told their pastor, I said we could remit people's sins. And they said, Thurman's crazy. In fact, after Kim learned that, they were at home one night and their power went off. And they called and they're supposed to have it back on in the middle of the night. But the next morning, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, it still ain't on. So she goes to the Lord, what's wrong with the power? And the Lord told her, Kim, remit the sins of this block. She said, Lord, I can't remit the sins of this block. Is that where we live?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And then you thought, the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of you in there, Dad, and said, you can. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, I remit the sins of this block. And what happened, Kim? Almost didn't get it out of her mouth, and the power came back on that block. Isn't that something? Now, can you remit the sins of people? Yes. But you know, if there's any doubt in your heart that you can't, it won't work. You have to believe that with no doubt in your heart. No doubt. Isn't that something?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Now, say that again.
My great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my father were all Masons.
Oh, all Masons. Ooh, wow.
Can I remit the sins of the dead?
Now, you can remit their sins, but they're going to have to break those curses over them themselves. Are they alive? Huh? Oh, yeah, you can break them over you.
No, dead. They're dead.
Oh, they're all dead? They're all dead? Yeah, you can claim. You're in luck. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 is for you. You know what that says, right? Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has already redeemed you from the curse of the law. Is that something? If Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, are you redeemed?
Yes.
So then what do you got to do? Claim it by faith. Lord, all these men in my family were Masons. Lord, I remit their sins. And Lord, I command those demons of hell that was passed from them to me. I'm not under that because you said in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, I am redeemed from that curse. I'm not under that curse no more. Now, you devil of hell, get out of me and leave me alone in the name of Jesus. And they may put you to the test. They've been there a long time. We ain't leaving, girl. Yes, they are. You see what I mean? They're going to have to leave because it's written. It didn't say it's going to be easy. And that's where we get all messed up because we don't believe the Word of God. We pray for somebody. Oh, I pray for this brother. Oh, I lay hands on him, pray for him. He don't get healed. What's wrong? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. No, they're all dead. They're all dead.
Well, my father isn't, but I haven't talked to him in 20 years.
Okay. But if they're dead, there's not any reason for you to remit their sins.
Okay. My father's still alive.
Okay. Well, you need to go talk to him.
I don't know where he is.
Okay. Well, wow. What a deal. See, that's exactly what the devil does to a family. He gets in there. He'll split it up. He's real good at that, you know. You ain't seen your dad in 20 years. Ain't that something? You know what a dad should be with a child? They should be talking to them all the time. You should be calling them on the phone, seeing how they are. You know?
Well, 20 years ago, I went back to his house, and I said, the Lord told me to go back. And I said, Daddy, open the door. I want you to know I love you, and I forgive you, and I miss you. And I saw him look out the window, and he didn't answer the door. And I wrote him a letter, and I just said, Dear Daddy, I want you to know I've forgiven you for everything you've ever done, and I pray that you forgive me for letting my pride get in the way of our relationship. And I pray that one day you'll know Jesus the way I do, because I want to see you in heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good prayer. Wow. You need to learn to take away from the devil by force what rightfully belongs to you. Right, Nancy? Yeah. It's like Cheryl. When Cheryl had never met a godly man. And she fell out of a truck, messed up her back, her vertebrae, her head. And she was in all kinds of rehab and everything for, what, 5.5 years or something like that? 5 years. And she couldn't tell her bladder when she wanted to go to the bathroom. She had all kinds of problems. And then she met this couple right over here, Eldon and Nancy. She went to their house, and they anointed her with oil, prayed the prayer of faith over her. I guess she was over there 2 or 3 hours, wasn't she, Eldon?
4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours. But they prayed, and they prayed, and they stood on God's promises, and they kicked all the devils out of her. And when she left her, that night, sure, was completely healed. I'm telling you, I mean, if we find somebody that can fight this good fight of faith, it works, doesn't it, Jack? Wow. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to send us some rain. Lord, we sure do need some rain. Father, thank you for the beautiful rain. We need 3 or 4 or 5 inches of rain in the next week with slow, beautiful, slow rain.
Yes.
Lord, and we thank you said we could ask for anything. If 2 or 3 of us on earth agreed about anything, you will do it for us.
Yes.
So, Lord, I'm in agreement that you'll send us rain. Anybody in agreement with me?
Yes,
yes, we're all in agreement, Father, in Jesus' name. So send us a beautiful rain. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if God sent the rain just to your property?
Amen.
I've seen him do that. I've seen him do that. One time at the Baptist church down here, I said, let's pray for rain. I said, my ground is so dry. I don't have nothing to feed my cows. I need some rain. The pastor, for some strange reason, he did not want to pray. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, Pastor, if you don't want to pray, you can just go do something else. And me and some of these other farmers, we're going to pray. So he said, well, I'll pray with you all then. But he didn't have no faith. We prayed, and about 3 or 4 weeks later, he said, well, you remember 3 or 4 weeks ago when Thurman said we need to pray for rain? And he said, it hadn't come a drop of rain at my house. I said, hasn't? He said, no. I said, that evening, I got 3 inches at my house. See, God can do that, can't he, Jack? If you're the only one that's praying in faith, or me and some of those other men, then some of those other men got rain, too. God is a faith God.
Yes, he is.
Wow. Father, we praise you and thank you for sending us rain, Lord, this week. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful rain that you will send. We are so grateful, Master. Now, Lord, we remit all of our sins, all the sins of the people around us, Lord, but for sure all of our sins, those of us that are here in the church, we remit all of our sins. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for sending that beautiful 3 or 4 or 5 inches of slow rain this week to really soak up the ground and let it be good. And Father, I praise you and thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And we worship you, Master, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.